Hey, this is Sunny. Just letting you know that we are putting this episode out for free on the Apple feed to let you know that A, Vic is back as the host. B, that we hope you can join us over at the Patreon. It's just subbeacon.com. Well, it's very easy to find. And C, as a reminder, it's only, it is pay what you want. So, you know, if you want to throw us $1 a month to listen to the show, we would be glad to have you. If you want to throw us $1,000 a month, that would also work. I'm not going to turn that down. Come hang out. It's fun. Just don't be a dick in the comments section, because we have had some of that, and we've had to get rid of a few people. So anyway, come join us. Listen to this whole episode. Vic is back talking about Godzilla vs. Kong. JBL is back. Sunny is here. I'm talking to you right now. I think you'll enjoy the episode, and we will, we'll see you, at the Patreon.
These are dangerous times. Godzilla's out there and he's hurting people and we don't know why.
There's something provoking him that we're not seeing here.
I'm of the same opinion.
The myths are real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was a war. And they're the last ones standing.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Jonathan V. Last and Sunny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon's now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com, you'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com, where you can get onesies and coffee mugs and headache shirts, whatever those are. One of the
very
longest
important
mysteries of all time. JBL.
The most important part of any man's wardrobe
is
his headache shirts.
I have no idea. When do we find out what that is?
It's just, I feel like if I tell you, it'll spoil it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. It's not, it's clearly not tank tops, because they have that at the Subbeacon merchandise store as well. It's something else.
So can I just jump right in?
JVL.
So, there are rules for life, one of which is, in any situation where you're going to be spending more than some X amount of dollars, you should get multiple bids, right? It's just a matter of course. It doesn't matter how good the first one is. But normally, the bids are pretty close, right?
The bids of what?
Well, like, say you as a for instance, let's say you need to replace two sliding glass doors.
Oh.
Just to pick a house project at random.
Oh boy.
And let's say you're at the beach where North Carolina state code requires that the doors have high impact hurricane glass.
Because of that, yes.
Okay. Again, you would think that while each independent contractor is going to give a different price, they're going to be in the same ballpark. Correct?
Yes, you'd hope.
Yes. So I had a bid from a gentleman today who it seems like it's going to be about $6,000.
Oof.
Rough for both, including installation. The other bid was $30,000.
What?
Okay.
Does he take the whole wall down?
I want to know what's different with the other one.
I don't think anything. I think the other one is just a criminal.
It's made of Swarovski.
The other one is made of vibranium.
Yeah.
I think it's just crooks. It's just dishonest contractors.
That's an enormous difference.
Right?
Yes.
This isn't sliding like, you know, they're off by $1,000 or something.
Sliding glass doors.
This is off by 5X. A 5X difference in price between the contractor's bids.
Did you ask the lower bid about the upper bid and why that was?
I didn't. I asked the property manager who has dealt with both contractors, and with the 5X contractor. He shook his head and he goes, "That guy's just a crook."
It's scary out there. But it's scary.
I mean, I don't understand why he would put a number out there that high. Why would anybody pick him?
Well, because I think there are people who don't do multiple bids, right? Because
right. Oh,
the way
it
works
of course.
Is they're, you know, mm-hmm. look, it's all for price point, right? I need to get a washing machine installed, which, you know, or a dishwasher installed, which is like a $200 job, I am not going to get multiple bids.
Right.
Because for me, at the place I am in my life, $200 is not a big deal. Mm-hmm. That has not always been true, right? And surely there are people for whom $30,000 is not a big deal, and it isn't worth their time to go to the trouble of getting multiple bids.
Right. And they're thinking about if they're thinking about, you know, elaborate renovations to bathrooms and things like that, in their mind, it's all the same. It's all five figures somewhere.
If your house is worth $5 million,
right,
as some of the homes are near me,
sliding door,
right, and you are in the middle of a thing, then a contractor comes in and says, you know, you pick him out because a friend of a friend said, I used him once and he was good, right? My uncle's sister-in-law's cousin's boyfriend told me at 31 Flavors that Bill Bulia Construction is good. And you know, the guy comes in and he says, yeah, I could do that for $30,000. And you just, you know, you say, okay, because
fine.
To you, that 30 grand is like $200 is for me, which is, you know, like 20 years ago would have been like $20 for
me. That's insane.
Yeah.
You know, I remember hearing an interview with Allison Janney, who was asked how her life changed after The West Wing. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, the only way in which it has really changed is that I get work all the time now. And I no longer have to sweat out the periods between work. Because when you're a working actor, you know, and she was not, like, The West Wing was not her first gig. She'd been around for a long time.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, you're sweating out gigs, right? Like, I got to get a gig. I got to, you know, one to another. She said, but everything else, you know, the way I think about life is there's always a price level at which you don't think about spending the money. You know, and when you're a kid, it might be the price of a new comic book. When you are a 20-something, it might be a cup of coffee or a latte at Starbucks, right? You don't really think about it. She said, and pre-West Wing, my I don't think about it price was about $200. Mm-hmm. And now it's about like $1,000. Mm-hmm. So like if I just need a new sofa for the living room.
What's a thousand?
I just think, yeah, okay, just buy the sofa. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, you know, that's actually a really nice way of thinking about all of our lives in terms of economic progress, right? Because I don't know about you guys, but I'm basically I can map my life by the periods of when, like, the highest dollar amount that I could spend without thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And each time you move up a level, it becomes a really big deal. And for me, the first time I noticed this,
was when you bought those $30,000 doors.
It was comic book bags and boards.
Oh.
So when I was a kid, you know, I had precious, precious resources to spend on comic books. And so the idea of spending $5 on a 100 comic book bags and then another $5, $10 total on boards, when for that month you go to the $3 for $1 bin, that's 30 comics. Right.
Right.
And so I was really parsimonious about it. I would shove as many comic books into the few
double bagged?
Oh, yeah.
Double bag, triple bag.
Which is probably about worse for the comic
even
than
if you had
like
nothing,
not even anything
crammed in there.
But I remember finally hitting the stage in life where I was like, yeah, I have to I'm buying new comic books. I need to have bags and boards for it. And when I hit that, I thought to myself, hey, I have made it in life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm like Norman Podhoretz in Making It. You know, like, I've arrived.
I
was 29. Norman's
voice, by the way. For me, I do it in terms of drinks. Maybe Sonny can relate to this as well, in terms of, you know, the $4 beer, the $7 pitcher, then suddenly it's a $14 pitcher. I mean, suddenly it's a $14 pitcher. Or, for example, I remember
the $35 martini.
No, that's not 35 yet, but you know, it's about 17, 18, maybe 20. I'd say 20 is about high end for a martini, Sonny. What do you think?
I
remember when $10 was a big deal for a drink.
$10 for a cocktail.
I remember $10 or $12 being my first like eye opening, like, well, having one drink tonight.
Yeah, that's
moment.
Right.
$20 is still kind of a lot for one drink.
I am going to assume it's going to be 17, 18. It's a lot more when you're paying for it. So
bottles of wine. Yeah. Right?
Yes.
That must have been a big thing for you, right? Do you remember when you moved on?
Yeah, 12.
From
I love 12. 12 to 15. 12, it's a great deal. You get a good wine for two. You could still get a good wine. You can get it for, if you get it for $8.99 at like Vache, you know, in Cleveland Park. Oh my gosh, that's an amazing Valpolicella or whatever. And then now it's like, hey, that's only $36. Hey, it's only $43. You know what? If you get six, if you get half a case, then it's, you know, down to maybe only
41.50.
Yeah, 41.50, and then I use the calculator. I'm looking at the calculator right now on my screen. I will times six versus times five. You know, it's like, oh, well, that comes out to a savings.
When was the first moment that you remember buying something and thinking to yourself, "Holy crap! The 22-year-old version of me would think that I was doing Brewster's Millions." Like that, I, you know, like would the 22-year-old version of me would look at me. Now, Vic, this probably never happened to you growing up as the son of a doctor.
It's a good question. Wow, I don't know, Sonny. Pass.
I don't know what the answer to that is. I mean, I think the moment for me has also a technological component to it, which is the rise of Amazon. When I got to the point in my life where I was not like, can I really afford to buy just this regular book, like just, you know, just like a $12 or $14 book or whatever, and could just like go to Amazon and be like, yeah, okay, that's fine. That was big for me. You know, Amazon changed, and like it was, and like part of that is the ease of it as well. But I don't know what. I remember once. I do remember once when I was a assistant editor at the Weekly Standard. I remember reading in an Esquire about a bottle of bourbon. It was the William LaRue Weller, and at the time that bottle of bourbon was, I think, $80 a bottle. And I was like, you know what? I like Buffalo Trace. I like Weller 107. You know, the old Weller Antique. This is an interesting bottle. If I see it, I'm going to buy it. Mm-hmm. And like, I swear to God, the next week I saw a bottle at the store that I used to go to, and I was like, oh, $80 for a bottle of liquor. And I went ahead and did it. Now that bottle today costs $1,000. So I should have bought a case.
And kept them
as investment vehicles, right. but silly me, I did not. But like that I remember thinking at the time, like, this is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Don't drink very much of this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. $80 a bottle is still, it's not cheap, but I would say that like it's not the sort of thing that I would like mark down in my calendar that I was buying a, you know, $80 bottle.
I would say for me, it's probably, if not for booze, it would be in terms of hotels or restaurants. And definitely, like, when you go to a fancy restaurant, you just want to go to the fancy restaurant, but you don't want to order a lot. And then there's a turning point when it's like, you know what? Get whatever you want. It's great. It's fine.
I mean, when you were a college student, you had to stay at, like, the Omni.
Well, what's
or something.
The
or
Regis,
the Parker. The St. Regis.
Right. That's right. The Ritz
and
Carlton.
It wasn't until you were 25 that you could stay at the Ritz Carlton.
The Ritz Carlton Suites. And sweets. I remember.
I would say that is a good one, though, Vic. The moment when you're like, yeah, I'll get a nap. I'll get an appetizer, because why not?
I know what I get at the Tombs. It was always buffalo wings. That's the meal, is the buffalo wings. It'd be crazy
in addition. The moment in your life when you're like, I would like to have food before the rest of my food.
Right. Now the difference is, can I handle it? You know, like a couple years ago, I did something for CN and went to Pittsburgh. I was so excited. Stayed at I forget the name of the hotel. It might have been the William Penn or somewhere out there. And I got so excited. And I got there the night before, went to the bar, and I ordered myself wings, and I just went crazy. I ordered the pound of wings. I said,
oh,
I will get one pound of buffalo wings. And it's not so much the amount of chicken meat as it is the salt and spices. Spice is fine, I can handle the spice, but it was the salt overload. I was like, I can't handle this. Whereas, you know, if I were younger, I'd be splurging. I'd be able to splurge and then be able to actually physically handle that. That's the thing. But I'd say for me, it's definitely something in the realm of restaurants. And I remember, you know, the first time making that decision, like, you know, get whatever you want. It doesn't matter what the bill is because I'm expensing it. So I just felt bad for the company. But so, Sonny, how are you? What's going on?
I'm fine.
What are you up to?
I don't really have anything special to talk about. I have a very boring story that will not rivet anyone. But I changed my whole cord setup here in my office.
Ooh.
I bought all new cords of the proper size for my office. It used to be that so basically before I had everything set up essentially to work in the Free Beacons podcast studio. So my cords were all like 18 feet long. It was like I had like I had the CB1s, right? But the one with like the extra long cord
long
attached to it.
Yeah.
And I had a what must have been a 9-foot USB cord for my mic. The other day I just got fed up with cords being everywhere. And I was like, you know what? I can spend $10 on Amazon and get a whole new set of cords, and that's what I did. I bought a lamp that has like a battery charger for the iPhone in it, like one of the cordless battery chargers. So now I can just put my phone right up here and it'll charge. So I got rid of one cord entirely. And then I just shrunk all the rest of the cords. Let me tell you guys, for the listeners out there, if you want to improve your quality of life, don't just get the 6-foot or 9-foot cords because you're like, well, it's 60 cents more and you can always use more feet. Of course, get the cords that are sized for your room. All of my cords now are under 3 feet long and everything is so much tidier in this little space. I don't have a ton of room here. I don't have a ton of space. So I need to economize it. And I've done that. And my life has never been better.
In the same way that there are people who care about loading dishwashers correctly and people who do not, there are people who care about cord management and people who do not.
Well, I'm not a Nazi about this. I'm not one of these people who will like buy a cord box, which is literally just a box that you put on top of your cords and like power.
Oh, and you shove it all
to hide them.
To hide them from everyone.
For the optics.
My cord situation for the TV area is still pretty neat, but not like, I mean, there's definitely a nest of cords back there. Once you kind of poke your head behind the TV, but like, and I never used to be like this, as you could tell by the fact that I've been here for a year now and I've been using these ridiculous oversized cords. I never used to, but I eventually, one day, 2 weeks ago, I just got tired of it. I was like, I got to make a change to my life. I'm going to get rid of all these cords. Now I feel better. Inside.
Have you ever run cords through a wall to hide them?
No, I've not. I thought about it. I wouldn't either
because I believe that involves a drill.
I strongly considered in our last house when we remodeled the basement for like a couple days. I was like, what would it cost to get speakers built into the walls? Mm-hmm. Just what would that run me? That was my $30,000. Patio door moment. I was like, nah, that's too much. That's there. You know, that,
you mean if you had somebody do it for you?
If I had somebody do it for me, I was not going to do it myself. But they were like taking drywall down and putting drywall up. So it was like it would have been like it would have made sense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If I was ever gonna do it,
but it just still was like too much money with the speakers itself and the wiring and all that.
So I down here at the beach house when we bought it. And the previous owner, because when you're at the beach, all furniture conveys. And the previous owner still had a tube television, which was amazing.
Throw it into the ocean?
Giant,
too heavy to throw.
Like TV hutch things that was like 8 feet tall,
oh, yeah.
6 feet wide. And there's probably a VCR in there too. Anyway, so I just went and got the cheapest flat panel I could find, and I was like, I'm going to hang it on the wall, and I'll do it myself, and I did it, and the cords were hanging down. I could not abide it. And so I thought, why can't I just do this myself?
Oh.
Right? Why can't it look? Mm-hmm. So it's drywall, right? You find where the studs are, right? The going, because the way walls are framed, you have vertical 2x4s or 2x6s, I guess 2x4s, every 18 or 24 inches. And so long as you are just popping the, you know, cutting a hole in and then going straight down in a straight line.
Then you're fine.
You're fine, right? It's easy. You go to Lowe's, you buy, they make them.
The Sonny's little... shaking his head. You've already lost him.
No, anyway, so I...
too much.
It's not worth the labor.
I spec this out.
I'm paying for labor.
I spec this out, and I figure that basically this is like a $25 job in terms of materials, and there's no reason I can't do it within 15 minutes.
How long?
And I start going. So, I mean, the burning the boats section is when you start with the drywall saw cutting out a big, you know, 2x4 section of your walls. And once you've done that, you're like, oh, I guess we're going forward.
There's no going back. Yeah.
So I do that, and there is a, for some God knows why reason, there's a horizontal beam right where I want to be dropping. So, like, so yes.
Where the, across the studs?
Across the studs.
Some extra reinforcement.
And so I'm sitting there and thinking to myself, okay. Now, hold on. Now, I should say, I did not discover this till I had cut both holes, both the top and the bottom hole, yeah. And I was trying to fish things down through it.
And it's not going through.
Because you're like, where's this cord? Yeah, why isn't it coming?
Why isn't it going through?
It's just coiling.
And so I'm trying to... So I finally think to myself, maybe I could just go get a hole saw, right? You've seen those, right? A hole saw. It's like a circular... A soda can that you pop onto your drill, but the edges of it are...
Anyway.
Right. So you can cut, like, say, a 4-inch diameter hole in something. But then I was like, could this be here for a reason? Uh-huh. I understand this place was built in 1980, and construction in the 1980s was just fucking garbage.
Yeah.
And so I went through this, like, elaborate, well, what's on the other side of this wall? Well, the other side of the wall was really just the deck. Like, there's... I don't think there's anything load-bearing going on. Ah, just do it. So I run back out to Lowe's, and I get the hole saw and a telescoping extension because I've got to go down through, like, at an angle through the hole I've cut. And as I'm doing this, and we're now in, like, hour 5, and and there's, like, smoke coming up out of it. I'm thinking, geez, I hope I'm at an angle so that I can... And when it went through... There was a moment where I thought, oh, God, the whole fucking building's going to come down, isn't it? But it didn't. It was fine. And now you can't see any cords.
Well, it all worked out.
It all worked out.
And the horizontal beam remains a mystery.
Remains a mystery, but it's got a giant hole in it.
Is it? I mean, is it a function of, like, just hurricane-proof building?
Yeah.
Like, do they need more reinforcements like that? I mean,
I don't think this place was built to be hurricane-proof, to be quite honest. Yeah. A lot of this hurricane-proof stuff is very recent vintage in terms of building code in North Carolina. Wow. I think in 1980s, it was developers just like, slap it up.
Yeah.
It's great. Anyway, sure. It's enough talk. Featurina, how are you, buddy?
I am doing much better. I had a close call this morning. So, you know, I still run.
The FBI was right there on the doorstep, huh?
They were 2 to 3 times a week. And I do a little over 5 miles now. My shin splints have vanished. I don't know how. It just did. So I took a couple of weeks off, and then it was much better. The big thing I always worry about is when I cross... the major intersection, like, for me, it's Washington Boulevard. And so you have all this, and I don't like standing. I don't know. Maybe other runners are like this. I don't like stopping because it messes up my time. And so I try to just run down and wait till there's an opening and dodge. Right. And you make it through and just, you know, thank God I obviously haven't had any incidents, and I try to be careful, look both ways. That's usually what I'm afraid about when I say close calls. Today was a different kind of close call. I was about a quarter mile to a half mile in, and then I started to get a stomach ache.
Has
that ever happened to you guys?
And
do you make a decision? You have to make an executive decision. Do you retreat?
Because this would involve running.
Oh, that's right. That's true, Sonny.
You've made mistake number one.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Sonny. He would never find himself in this position.
What kind of stomach ache? Was this more of a lower intestine kind of thing?
Yes. Yes. It was lower.
Or was this like, oh, my tummy hurts. I ran too soon after eating.
I'd say I thought it was my tummy hurts, I had already, you know.
Or was this like, oh boy, we're crowning?
It was like the turtle's head.
Start turtle.
The turtle's
walking.
Head is about to pop out. No, it is.
I gotta get to a ditch.
I had a bit to drink the night before, and sometimes that has an effect on me, you know, the alcohol. And I said, okay, I went to the bathroom, but sure enough, the effect was happening. So the first one, I thought it was stomach. No, it was lower. So I said, oh, maybe it's, you know, going through the, you know, I think I'm fine. I said, I think I'm fine.
The worst that could happen? You shit yourself on Washington Boulevard neighbors.
Isn't it true runners have done this, JVL, like
marathoners, 100%. Like competitive marathoners.
That is 100%. Insane. You'll see at the high levels, because diarrhea is a frequent side effect of long, long distance running, and you'll see it with it like running down the backs of their legs. But you know, these are often people contending for medals and prize
medals. Yeah, I'm not. I'm just trying to stay alive. I'm just trying to keep my weight even, as you know, because of my lifestyle. So it went away, and I said, "Okay, good." You can sort of convince yourself. You know, you're like, "No, it's not what I think. No, it's not that." And then I'd say about 10 minutes later, it came back and a little bit stronger. And then after that, it went away.
Were there sound effects?
They were a little bit, but it was really. The weirdest thing was I managed to put it off, but it's like your body knows. So I managed to head towards 5 miles, and then I was heading back, but it's like your body knows when you're close to your destination. And all of a sudden, it was happening. And I got, it was like cold chills, 5 miles, and I was having cold chills. And I'm like, I would say this, it was a sub 10 average because I ran really fast that last stretch. But it is a thing. Do you run too fast and then make it up? Yes, Sonny.
Were you getting the contractions doubling?
I was dilating. They were about 4 centimeters apart.
That's always the worst. No, you know, when you're like,
right? No, it is. It was a fear that, you know, like I thought about, you know, do I run into my wife's cousin's house because he lives down the road, and I would happen to be running by the neighbor, I'd just knock and say, "Hey, Kevin, I really need to use your bathroom. This is embarrassing, but I need to use it." Or what? And then I decided not to. And then I had this awful feeling after like maybe the second or third time it came back where it would be like, you know, what would happen, you know? And all of a sudden, you know, like it would be like, like you said, Lee Highway. There would be like, you know, lane closure or something, you know?
You know,
WTOP traffic report.
Scenes from Vic's life. Him waking up while sitting on the pavement outside Cava after having thrown up.
Oh, right. I forgot about
him
that one.
Limping along. Washington Boulevard, having crapped his pants. Your life is not all that dissimilar from that of a very tragic homeless person.
Yes, no, I borderline with my reckless behavior, but I just want to assure you that the good news is I made it in the nick of time. But speaking of enormous monsters, over the weekend, Godzilla versus Kong took in $48.5 million at the box office. I was hoping I didn't like the movie that I can say. Speaking of monster dumps, but anyway. Speaking of fiery explosions and box office, does that mean we're back to box office talk? The first time in ages to Box Office Mojo because they had, now it was 48.5 for a 5-day quote weekend, but everything below it is about 2 million and 1 million.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I don't know that we are back exactly. I will say that what this shows is that there is a certain pent up demand for a certain type of movie, which is the kind of big screen,
awesome movies. There's a pent up budget. There's a pent up demand for amazing cinema.
Sure. Exactly. There is absolutely a portion of the audience that is ready to get back. I mean, I saw a lot of sellouts. Granted, these are theaters with 30% to 50% capacity.
Oh, sorry. So you went to the theater?
I saw it in a theater that I rented with. It was me and Beth and four other people. So two other couples.
Did you make them mask it correctly?
Well,
since you're renting the whole theater,
it was. I don't know that the screen. This may be one of the AMCs where the screen, the masking doesn't really work. Let's be honest. I take that back. It actually was masked correctly because the trailers were in the letterboxed format. The screen had come down. It was in proper.
What did it cost to rent out the whole theater?
It was $150.
What?
It was $150.
That is what a deal.
And with six people, that's not that much beyond the actual cost of a ticket. I mean,
it's not in concessions. What was it?
Certainly paying a premium, but it's like it's a couple extra bucks.
Was it hard to get a time slot for that, or no? Was it like
we got it 4 weeks out. Like my friends are very, very into the Godzilla King Kong universe. Yeah. And
they're
I'll definitely, they're into the kaiju thing.
I'm sorry, how did that go? Can you say it again?
Kaiju. They're into the kaiju.
It sounds like something you drink.
Gojira.
It was great. And it was very funny too. It was very funny. So we were sitting there, the credits start, the opening credits start going, and the movie is beginning. And right as it began, this group of like five kids with all their popcorn and stuff come into the theater and start to go to take a seat.
Did you throw them out?
And we went, get out! Wrong theater! Wrong theater! You get out! Get out of the theater!
We yelled at them,
and they were like, and ran out. And they were trying to pull something. They knew exactly what
they
were
doing. Get off my lawn!
Get out of my theater!
Get out of my theater!
Get out of my theater!
Get off my plane!
I would be willing to bet they knew exactly what they were doing, and they were trying to pull one over on us on the assumption that, we just wouldn't say anything because, we said a bunch of things in very short order. They got out of the theater.
You said some beautiful things.
That's interesting. When you have a theater all to yourself, Sonny, even though you're with friends, do you insist on sitting alone in your own aisle, your own row?
We socially distanced. So we were in three separate rows, just kind of like staggered.
Did you get the key? Did you get the key seat, like dead center?
Who got the dead center seat though?
Oh, I got. I we got.
That was
Beth
you?
And I took the dead center. Dead center, like the ones where you can put your feet up on the rail.
That's a good one. Yeah,
those are the best seats. Mm-hmm. Those are the best. We took those.
I like the handicap seats. Those are good.
Honestly, I think IMAX 3D tickets are $22 a piece.
Yeah.
So this is really an extra 50 cents more.
Yeah. I mean, it
to own the whole theater and talk as much as you want.
It was not an IMAX theater. It was like a standard,
still
theater.
Right, but what I'm saying is, it's absolutely
no, no, totally. If we were going to. If we were going to IMAX, it would essentially have been five more dollars a couple.
Now, was that $150 because you only had six people?
No,
it was $150 and you could have brought as many people as you wanted.
$150, you can bring up to 20 people.
That's amazing.
So if you had 20 people there, you're like actually saving money.
Did you have a choice, a selection of movies you could watch? Or can you just bring in your DVD?
No.
No, it's a real thing. Okay.
AMC has a whole program where they have like a list of the movies and the price points are different. Like you can rent a theater. I don't know exactly what they're showing right now, but you could rent a theater and watch like Jurassic Park on the big screen,
like,
or The Matrix.
Oh, that's amazing.
On the big screen.
Now, do you still and it was get like, movie?
And it was, and it was less than that. It was like $100
with Maria Menounos.
Do you still get Nubi with Maria Menounos?
You still get Nubi.
Because I would pay extra to get. You've been watching Nubi. I'm Maria Menounos.
You still get you still get all the trailers.
For 200, she actually shows up at the theater and does the show.
Yes. Hologram.
And she does, yeah. And she does it. She also appeared in the gas station, by the way. She's, you know, when you fill up gas, she appears on screen.
It's a great deal, and it works for the theaters, too, because, I mean, you know, this is the first time Beth and I have gone out, you know, like, without the kids.
Oh, that's nice.
In 8-9 months. So we bought, like, we each had 2 beers at the theater for, a total cost of, $40, you know? I mean, it was,
the concessions would be, double the cost of renting.
We got popcorn and beers, and, that basically equaled our share of the theater. I mean, it was crazy.
That's very exciting, Sonny. How about a big boy review?
Godzilla versus Kong. Godzilla versus Kong. It's about a big monkey and it's about a big lizard, and they're punching each other. Because there can only be one Alpha Titan.
If only there was a giant werewolf, Vic.
You can't have two Alpha Titans.
It's a Rampage joke, Vic. You remember Rampage?
It was a great game, but then you're like, okay, go ahead.
We saw the movie Rampage.
I didn't see that one. Again, there are movies that we all skipped, and that was one of mine.
I don't know that it makes a whole lot of sense to do a proper review of this film. I had a bunch of questions, but I'll wait for Vic to do his questions. But basically, the long and the short of it is Apex Cybernetics, which is run by Damien Bashir.
I was hoping it would be run by Joe Morton again.
Apex Cybernetics is being attacked by Godzilla after years of silence and hiding from Godzilla, and nobody is quite sure why. And so the Monarch, the semi-governmental agency, I don't exactly know what the deal is there, decides to take King Kong into the Hollow Earth through an entry point in the Antarctic, through a special gravity defeating ship that can go through the gravity inversion in the center of the Earth.
Yeah, well, it's where you flip from being in the gravity on one side.
You get
to
the whole planet's gravity is on you at that point.
Obviously,
or something.
Oh, I'm sorry, science, Sonny.
Makes sense. A lot of science in this movie. I am not a science or math major, so there's a lot of confusing things that happened in this. The long and the short of it is that King Kong and Godzilla fight, and then King Kong and Godzilla fight again, and then King Kong and Godzilla fight for a third time, and then they have to team up and fight against Mechagodzilla, which is what Apex Cybernetics was building. And I have to say, I clearly did not love this film as much as JBL did, but I did enjoy it more on the big screen than I did on my fabulous television set, because it is a movie that is designed to be seen on the big screen. You should go see it on the big screen. I have a bunch of questions. There are a lot of things in this movie that felt like they should have been callbacks to other things and did not make sense to me. And I've seen all of these movies, so I know basically what's going on. But why was Skull Island covered in a permanent storm? Why was King Kong living in the Truman Show?
Oh, to protect him from Godzilla.
No, but there was a storm on the island. Where did that storm come from?
I think the movie happened during monsoon season.
During monsoon, yeah.
No, they built it. It took over the whole island. They talk about how the little girl's family had been killed in the storm when it took over the island, in quotes. I mean, that's a
remnant from King Ghidorah. Remember, there was a big monster hurricane, almost like a Sharknado.
I guess. Second question is what's his name? Alexander Skarsgård is talking about his brother who led a mission into the middle of the Earth.
I assume this was in the movie Kong Skull Island, which I did not see. That's why.
No, he definitely was not. Oh, definitely was. He was going on a scientific mission into the middle of the Earth, and he dies apparently. And it's this big emotional beat in this movie, and we have no idea who he's mourning. No idea who he's mourning.
I thought it was just me.
I believe that beat is there to help us understand that we can like that character and that we don't have to be creeped out and think that he's a bad guy. Because if you only evaluate what he says and does, you would think to yourself, huh, maybe he's a villain.
I thought I was waiting for that to happen.
Yeah, and so we need to have the, look, he really loves his dead brother, so that we can let go and say, oh, okay. All right, is okay.
Or
like
that
him.
I assumed that he was going to be used as a pawn and then killed.
Okay, question. why are there statues of giant monkeys beneath the earth? Who built them?
It's the Kong family, Sonny. The Kong family. I don't know where the Kong family went, but they obviously they were there because those.
Who built them?
They make tools.
They made them. They have opposable thumbs they can build. And Kong's family built the Kong Palace.
Did they also build the magical axe?
Yes.
And my
they make
axe.
Tools. They are tool using primates. They have mastered language. Look, they can have full conversations with people because these are not normal gorillas.
Right, right,
these
right.
are
we're straight out of Congo.
Really, they're a very advanced race of Titan. And they had their entire, I'm sure they had song and music
as
well.
Question. I was waiting for armor and helmets.
Question.
Like Gorilla Grodd.
Yeah, like Gorilla Grodd.
If Godzilla can sense any Titan on the planet and go to it, for instance, the Titan that's not even actually a Titan, the Mecha Godzilla, why is he not able, which is underground and in a whole bunch of bunkers and whatever, not even fully assembled. It's not even really assembled until halfway through the movie. Why can he not sense where King Kong is?
Because of the Truman Show. They have special shield deflectors in there to keep the vibranium energy.
But how does that not work at Apex Cybernetics? How is he able to sense through all the shielding there?
I mean, clearly they wanted him to come there. They were luring him there.
That's true.
And I have to say that also understand that Mechagodzilla is in fact one of King Ghidorah's heads.
Yes.
So right. Mechagodzilla isn't just a robot. He becomes possessed by the ghost
of
one of King Ghidorah's
heads. Oh, because
it's
connected to the wires into Ghidorah?
Yeah. Yes.
Which, okay.
That's why he turns bad and tries to kill Godzilla.
Right. I mean, that was silly, but at least I was like, okay, I can buy that. As far as the logic of this movie goes, King Ghidorah's head taking over the body of Mechagodzilla was like the most logical thing that happened in the entire movie.
I was like, okay, that's actually kind of clever.
It's not like
hand movie with Michael Caine where he has the hand transplant and it's killing people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like environmentalist villains came in and like hacked Mechagodzilla and they were like, we're gonna destroy the world now,
right?
To save it. It was like, okay, sure. King Ghidorah's psychic skull,
and not only his skull, just his skull. It's actually kind of an interesting beat. It's an interesting plot point. It's not something you have seen before or heard before. It's not a rehash.
It's true. So, Sonny, you liked it so-so, but had questions.
I liked it. It was fine.
JVL, you loved it.
Tell us about it. I fucking loved it. It's probably the best Godzilla movie I've ever seen. It is certainly the best Godzilla versus King Kong.
Correction,
movie
the
I've
answer
ever
is
seen.
The best Godzilla movie is Godzilla 1985, starring Raymond Burr. Continue.
Is that the one with Jeff Bridges?
No, it was with Raymond Burr.
Beau Bridges?
Look,
one of the Bridges brothers in it?
Not that one.
We can talk about the mise en scène and the auteur's vision behind this, but I just want to just tick off three things that happen in this movie. And then defy you, dare you to tell me it isn't awesome. First of all, they use a fancy spaceship as a defibrillator on King Kong. And he wakes up like he's Uma Thurman getting an adrenaline shot in Pulp Fiction. Amazing. Secondly...
Question.
Yeah.
Well, you go ahead and finish your thoughts. I have a thought.
In his battle with Godzilla, King Kong's shoulder is dislocated. And
that
when he
great.
Gets up, he like Martin Riggs before him.
Yes, like Mel Gibson.
He slams
it into a
building and uses a building to pop his shoulder back in. And third, when Mechagodzilla and Godzilla are battling, Mechagodzilla does a Superman punch like he's the second coming of Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Every human being since the dawn of time, since we crawled out of the primordial pits and made fire, has wanted to see a gigantic robot Godzilla do a Superman punch mm-hmm. on a 450-foot lizard in the middle of Hong Kong. It was amazing. How could you not be? Are you not entertained?
Yeah.
No?
It was fine.
I'll tell you what I was really... What I had very low expectations for this movie, and I rather enjoyed the first gorilla... that's his name, right? King Kong. His first punch against Godzilla, it was like a Rocky punch.
Yes! Yes!
It was really impressive.
Because that's how gorillas fight.
Gorillas
Basically like MMA superstars.
Whereas, like, in reality, King Kong, the first thing it would have done is, you know, rip Godzilla's genitals off. And, you know, that's the way. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you, J-Vale. You were talking about that.
No, look, I mean, we can talk seriously about the movie because I do have some serious thoughts about it.
Well, let me get my stuff in first, then.
But then you do your thing. I loved it. I loved everything about it.
All right.
And to me, this is a pure look. You're either into Godzilla or you're not. And if you're not, then of course it's stupid, right? Flash was picking picking the plot holes apart. Where he's like, where was the sun coming from in the middle of the hollow earth?
Well, you could tell him. I literally have that on my list of questions.
I have a better question. I said, I have a better question, big guy. How does a 450-foot lizard shoot nuclear lasers out of his mouth? Because let me tell you, if you can roll with that, then we can figure out some sort of explanation as to why the magma core looks like sun or something.
You got to help me out with the
magma core. You either buy into Godzilla or you don't. Right? And if you buy in, then this is a great ride.
I can buy into Godzilla, but... there were just things. Okay. First of all, the Kwajin score is a B because, well, plot is an A. Hold on, because if I'm taking everything in, plot is an A, obviously. I found it very easy to understand. Okay, this is what's going on. They're going to fight. Duration. I don't know. I didn't check how long it was, but it felt like it was just the right amount of time. Was it a two-hour movie?
About
less?
Hour 45 minutes.
Ah, that's exactly fantastic. Right. Fantastic.
A plus, violent, right?
Yeah. I just give it an A. Violence and action, of course, was an A. Sex, nudity. If I'm not doing the NA, if I'm being honest here, it's an F, although I found, you know, what's her name, extremely hot.
Rebecca Hall, I'm talking about.
I knew you were going to say that. I thought to myself, boy, this is going to get Vic in lots of trouble.
It's a trap.
That is a trap.
Okay.
That's bait.
First of all,
that's bait.
Okay, so here are my things, and then we can go back. I think people have talked about this before, how King Kong keeps on getting larger and larger, like whereas he once scaled the Empire State Building, now he's the size of the Empire State Building.
So they actually have an explanation for this. Now, it's preposterous, but the point is they cared enough. If you go through the history of this, the original King Kong was supposed to be about 24 feet tall. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Peter Jackson's King Kong was about 55 feet tall, I think. The Kong of Skull Island Kong from this MonsterVerse was 105 feet tall. But they made a point of saying in the movie, which is set in the 1970s, and he's just an adolescent. We have no idea how big he'll get. Yeah. And so here we are 50 years later.
You learned that.
And now he's 400 feet tall. Now, admittedly, 4X is a pretty big ask in terms of believability on growth. But the point is, they went to the minimal plot lengths necessary to just give us something, right? So just like, hey, look, he's supersized.
Yeah, this is one of those things that like does not bother me at all. This is the hollow earth sun nuclear fire of like, if you're going to believe that these two things are going to fight each other and it's going to not end in 20 seconds because Godzilla is three times the size of King Kong, then they have to be the same size. It's fine.
We touched on the sign language thing. I'm glad they kept it to the, he'll make certain gestures to express his feelings, and they didn't do the full Congo. You know the full Congo, which is soon as they strap the device, then
Amy,
he's like, I am Amy, sad.
Scared. Right. Amy, scared.
Thank you, Sonny.
Go home. Go home.
Yes, I was so happy they didn't do that. So here's an interesting thing. So Godzilla is kind of like the Predator in the sense that if you're armed and dangerous, he will fight you. But if you're not, then he won't fight you. And that was one of the moves they did when they decided the fleet would just be dormant, right?
Well, he has to be the alpha. That's all. Yeah, because because about that. He's here to protect us. Mm. And he's here to protect Earth. And so he's just got to be the alpha on Earth if he's going to protect us.
You know what, I know he's concerned about the environment between him and Kong. The amount of bathroom issues I would have. I mean, that's enormous. You think, I thought mine was enormous. That is enormous. The amount that they have to use the bathroom. I mean, it's a lot.
JBL, you weren't a little bit kind of sympathetic to Apex Cybernetics wanting to create a weapon to protect us from Godzilla?
It was Mechagodzilla. Very right, Mechagodzilla, the whole point of Mechagodzilla is to protect us from.
Because Godzilla is actually a terrifying thing that we need. I take the Batman versus Superman point of view on this, which is that if there was an actual enormous building-sized lizard that could shoot nuclear fire breath out of his mouth.
It's pretty scary.
We need something. We need a silver bullet of some sort that would be able to take him out, take him down if he ever freaked out on us. I don't disagree.
And you know what? Having a robotic Godzilla which can shoot whose spines along his back detach and shoot out like missiles, and whose tail has a laser spike on it and has rocket engines on his back.
I wish somehow he could have lived longer. But at the same time, thinking about this, I thought there is no way Mechagodzilla could last because there's so many moving parts. I mean, it's a robot. Something's going to go wrong. And sure enough, it did. In fact, I actually had it written down here, is the real hero Mechagodzilla. So there you go. I had another question.
He's not the real hero because he's taken over by King Ghidorah.
Right. He was possessed. You know, okay.
He would have been the real hero.
Yes.
Apex Cybernetics. Their heart was in the right place.
Right.
Their heart was in the right place.
How did they get to Hong Kong so fast in that tunnel? What was that tunnel they got into?
Great question.
They went through the Hollow Earth. That's what that tunnel was.
Really?
The Hollow Earth,
Seen Hollow Earth per se,
is basically the Savage Land. Yeah, the Hollow Earth is basically the Savage Land from DC,
yes.
Right, Sonny?
From Marvel, from the X-Men books.
DC has a version of this with Kandar, the first human, and somebody will.
So you're telling me, the Peter Jackson King Kong has nothing at all to do with this?
No.
King Kong.
Different universes.
So the beginning of this series, shall we say, was Kong Skull Island?
No, the beginning of the series was Godzilla. Mm-hmm. So it goes Godzilla, King of the Monsters, King Kong, which was not Kong Skull Island, and now this.
Okay, right. What happened to Matthew Broderick? Because he was in this. Oh, sorry. And that awful actress. You want to get serious, JVL? You want to get deeper, Sonny? Deeper thoughts, JVL?
I do have deeper thoughts as to why it succeeds as a movie. And the reason it succeeds and is satisfying is twofold. Did you guys ever see the original King Kong versus Godzilla?
No.
What do you mean the original? Remind me.
There's like a 1972 or 1968. Oh. There's a long ago King Kong. This is during the man in suit years.
But yeah.
And it ends. I mean, I remember seeing that as an 8-year-old and being so jazzed,
wild,
right?
One is Japanese, one is basically
American. To, like, dying to see, because who doesn't want to know who would win in a fight, King Kong or Godzilla? Mm-hmm. And the movie ends with the two of them fighting and falling under the water together. And that was the biggest cop out. I remember being angry as an 8-year-old.
They both.
Being like both and neither, you know? And so in a movie like this, you need an answer. Right, the film cannot cop out on who would win in a fight. It has to tell us that answer, but it also has to tell us that answer in a satisfying manner. And what they do is they structure this movie like a wrestling arc. So you know, like the arc that was the fight between Macho Man Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan or something like that, right? Where they meet at first, and Godzilla just totally overpowers King Kong, and so we establish Godzilla as the heavy. Mm-hmm. The second meeting, Kong dominates him because he's got his special magic axe. And then in the third meeting, we then have a rubber match where
God, it's really going right at each other, and you think one guy's going to get the pinfall, the other guy's going to get the pinfall, and then Godzilla wins, but we get the satisfying finish where they show respect to each other, right? And the one guy walks off, and then we redeem King Kong as a heavy himself.
When he takes on.
Because Godzilla can't beat Mecha, right? Mecha Godzilla is even badder ass than Godzilla is, and it takes King Kong and Godzilla working together to be... And that's
they become the mega powers.
They become the mega powers. That's exactly it. So the point is that this is, it's a very narratively appealing and satisfying story, and they rely on the tropes of professional wrestling to tell it. And I, the whole time I was watching this, I just felt like I could hear in my brain the nerd conversation between the whatever the pre-storyboard version of this, like pre-first draft,
the previous,
trying to figure out who would win. Because when you think about it, right, how is King Kong going to beat Godzilla? He doesn't have armor. He can't really bite anybody because his mouth is against his face and not elongated.
Even though he's large, that fire burns.
And he cannot shoot nuclear lasers from his mouth. That's the big one. Yeah. So what does he have going for him?
Big drawback.
So he has a temporal cortex, right, which allows him to formulate strategy. He actually is strategic. He does a thing where he distracts Godzilla, right? He grabs the thing off of one of the a shiny thing from one of the buildings and throws it, and Godzilla like goes after it because he's got a puny lizard brain.
Oh, so King Kong is he's smart.
He's able to smarter than problem solving.
He can use tools.
He's problem solving. He uses tools, but you know he's got opposable thumbs, which let's be honest are a very big advantage.
That's a big change. Yeah.
But you can imagine the two nerds sitting there going, oh, I mean, like you'd need like a +6 ice sword or something. And someone else going, What if King Kong had that axe that Thor used in Avengers Infinity War?
It's the same axe.
Right? And the other one like Stormbreaker. And then these two guys got to go rub it out together, because give King Kong Thor's axe from the Avengers movie would be amazing. And that's basically what they did. It's a magical axe made from a broken spine that can both absorb the nuclear lasers and shoot the nuclear lasers? I don't know, but it's amazing.
You know what I liked? I liked that Kong, his strategy was also to shut Godzilla's mouth to prevent him from firing.
Yeah.
Very smart. I was like, oh, that's good.
And you know what?
That's great.
This is going to sound stupid, but I thought the story does a really nice job of making Kong the audience surrogate. I mean, the audience surrogate in this movie is actually not any of the human characters.
Yeah.
It's Kong. And
from the very opening moments where he's like getting up and scratching his butt and like walking into the shower of
and we're
Christ
with
Skull
him
Island.
And we're you know and I look, is it all stupid? Is the idea of Kong suddenly shrinking from his 405 feet to be able to get into that little tunnel going to the Hollow Earth ridiculous? Yes. Is the Hollow Earth, which is, again, the savage land by way of the crazy cities in Inception, where the cities are both like on the sky and on the ground. Why does it have sun? Why is all that ridiculous? Yes. But on the other hand, as a piece of storytelling, it's actually pretty efficient, and it does what it needs to do emotionally, so much as a movie like this needs to do anything emotionally.
Did it help to have seen Kong Skull Island to see this movie?
No, you do not need to.
Absolutely.
Kong Skull Island is a garbage piece of cinema.
I assumed that some of the characters were from that movie. That's why. But no. Okay.
No, it's absolutely useless. No.
I actually, you know what? This was probably now 3 years. Oh, goodness. 3 years ago, maybe four. When I was at Universal Studios, went to the Kong Skull Island ride that had just opened, and there was no line. It was right before Easter, spring break, and so it takes forever to get to the ride because they assumed at some point there was going to be a long line anyway for this ride, and it's like all the new rides now, which is partly an actual physical ride, but then the rest of it is 3D, and then you move on your ride again, and it was pretty good. because they, he just appears, he fights a dinosaur, and I would say the scariest part were the giant centipedes that they spray venom on you, and it's like water.
Water, ooh.
Here we go. Because you have to wear a thing, I guess. You have to.
5D.
Yeah.
Victorino, did you not love it?
I didn't, no, but I liked it. I liked it. I didn't love it. I know. You know, I'm getting tired of CGI. I'm just getting tired of the CGI. That's all.
If you like Gojira, you like kaiju. Yeah. I don't know that there's anything better than this. Yeah. The only thing that could have been better is if the Shogun Warriors had showed up. Do you remember the Shogun Warriors?
Of course. Victorino? Great Mazinga. And one of them was called Dragoon. I think he had he looked like a red Statue of Liberty, but he fired.
Like a rocket fist or something,
Yeah, the Great Mazinga had guided missiles for his fingers.
They were so good.
And they fought Godzilla.
Did the Shogun Warriors fight
Godzilla? Yeah, because I had the Godzilla, and he had a fist that flew. Obviously, that makes no sense. And like a rubber flame tongue, but you had a little lever, and the lever broke because they always break.
Let me tell you how into this movie I was. I was so into it that at the end, when Godzilla and King Kong decide not to go at each other again, they are in many ways like Rocky and Apollo Creed.
And then
with respect, I would have bought it had they done sign language to each other and just done like respect.
Godzilla has no idea. But Godzilla has no idea what's going on.
I'm just telling you had they done that in the movie, I still would have bought it.
The end of this movie is the end of Anchorman. Remember in Anchorman?
Yes, he talks.
Remember
the dog talks to the
Anchorman,
bear.
When Baxter jumps down and he's like, "No, Katojo, these humans are friends." That the
Sonny,
little girl
I thought
is,
it.
Is the dog. The little
I
girl
thought,
is Baxter.
I thought the same exact thing.
No, I mean it's the same exact. It's the same.
He's
exact
not
point.
The enemy.
The, the little girl jumps down and she's like, "No, God, King Kong is friend. Godzilla is friend. You need to be friends. That's the enemy." And it was like it's basically Anchorman. Anchorman set the stage for the whole Godzilla versus Kong universe.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I loved it, and even the human stuff. While I was always anxious to be done with it, it never got to the point of being annoying.
Oh, you weren't annoyed by the podcaster subplot with Eleven from Stranger Things and all that?
Really, I was annoyed, but not
her friend.
Every,
isn't
every
her
time
friend
I
the
got
kid?
To the yeah. Every time I got to the precipice of being like, "Come on now," we got
and
away from
to a different scene.
Yeah,
yeah, because you don't actually see a lot of them. It was more Kong based than it was like the Godzilla character, like the people from the previous movie, which we did see. And I do like the father, and again, you didn't see a lot of him though. Kyle Chandler. I like him.
Coach.
Yeah, that too.
Coach from and Friday Night Lights.
And from
we don't need him, but that's okay. I will say I miss Ken Watanabe. It is a shame that he had to die in Godzilla.
I thought
King
he was he died because he was controlling Mechagodzilla using the mind thing.
Okay, you know what? The Filipino guy said that, not us.
Filipino.
Oh, by the way, the friend of Eleven, isn't he the kid from Deadpool 2 with the special powers that he had?
Is he?
He had that accent, I think. It sounded like
remember.
Him. Okay, anything else?
Yeah, it's great. It's a good album. Everybody should go see it. And go see this. Is,
you can see it on HBO
here's
Max.
A real question, Sonny. Why is it that we care about the theatrical experience? Why is it that people like you and I have been bleeding on and on about this for 18 months?
For movies like
because
Godzilla vs. Kong.
I can't imagine how much of a nothing burger this would be on a 65-inch screen at home.
I mean, I watched it at home, you know,
on
in
my
4K,
42-inch.
on my 65-inch TV, and it was fine. It was it wasn't that good, frankly. It was like, okay, this is big and dumb, and it's fine. And it was much more entertaining just to watch in the theaters. Mm-hmm. It's not a good movie still. No offense, JBL. It's not like I wouldn't say it's not like Independence Day, which is a great dumb movie. This is an okay dumb movie. But it was. I mean, there's no reason to watch this on anything other than a theatrical screen. Really.
Does any gigantic robot do a Superman punch onto a gigantic lizard in Independence Day?
No.
Okay.
But
so
do
no,
upload,
it's not as good.
They upload a virus from a Mac to a
that's how good
alien
it was.
Mothership.
That's how good it was.
That's how good
that's
it
how
was.
Good it was. All right. Do we have any corrections, shout outs, anything like that?
No.
All right.
I got a spirit of the week.
Hey,
ooh, me too.
Let's hear it.
Spirit of the week. Spirit of the week for me this week is the Shibui Pure Malt Whiskey. It's a Japanese whiskey.
Whoa.
How is it pronounced again?
Let me see that. I'll show. Let me see that.
But it's
It is literally a sample.
It's like a sample size. They sent a sample size, and it's very good. I have become more enamored of the Japanese whiskeys as I get older here. I will say that the Shibui Pure Malt Whiskey.
You liked it.
It's very good. Mm-hmm. It's like $60 a bottle, so it's not cheap, but
it's not part of Hibiki or Nika.
No, it's not Hibiki or Kaiō or Mars UA or any of
it's its own thing.
Yamazaki. It's its own thing. Right. It's good. You should check if you can find it in your stores. Highly recommend checking it out. Send me pictures. This is not SponCon, but they did send free samples to me. It was tasty.
Did you drink it while you were watching the Kaiju movie?
No, I did not. I did not because we were at the theater. So I was drinking like,
did you put it in a flask?
I was drinking, you know,
keep it in a gun holster,
Anchor Steam or whatever.
The gun holster reference.
I'm drinking Coco Loco Porter. It is a Northern North Kakalaki Brewery. It's fine. It's a porter.
Okay. All right.
I like it.
Good. Wonderful. That is all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, tweet us at SunnyBunch at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Just go to subbeacon.com. We're there. Well, obviously, if you're listening to it, you're there. Tell your friends. Until next time. So, if you don't have anything, I do have one thing.
Bring it.
I went to the dentist for my 6-month checkup, right? And first of all, I have a couple of issues. They're always adding more tests to these things. Before, it was just the cleaning, right? And they take pictures every other time. They'll do x-rays. Of course, it happens. Every time I go there, I feel like it's every time. And they do that. And now they do the oral cancer screening, right? And so they're touching all over, feeling your glands and your neck. And then they have you move your neck and you move your tongue around. You know, they have to do a little thing. And they're checking everything inside, outside, underneath your tongue.
Basket of cough. It's terrifying.
And then while they're doing this, and then they decide they want to take your blood pressure. And so they, blood pressure, and they use like a wrist device for it.
Yeah, this is a liability thing, I believe.
Oh, and I'm like, and my blood pressure is normally pretty good now. It's like 107 over like 70. It's like really good. It was like 137 over like 80 something.
You're at the dentist.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, hold on. We're going to get this drill. Right before we drill, let's take your blood pressure. Really? Okay, so there was that. And then
sadists.
And then they ask, they really are. And then they ask, are you feeling anything or whatever? And I said, just the one thing is I might have a little sensitive on one side. They look over. It could be like, you know, it's like a receding gum, things like that. But the other thing, because I'm old. And then the other thing is, I said, it feels a little weird on one of my teeth where I have a crown in. And then the doctor, the dentist says, you use a mouth guard, right? And you probably, And he said he thinks it's because the mouth guard was molded before I got the crown, so it feels weird. But the way he remembers me as a patient, he said, He says, you're a clencher. I said, what? How did he know that?
I was just running. And I was running, and I was in a lot of trouble, so I had to clench it tight.
I'm sure it's fine.